Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So still no deal on the stimulus. In fact, Republicans are balking even more. And understand, Friday, the House is supposed to go on a five-week hiatus. Next Friday, August 7th, the Senate is supposed to go for their 5 weeks. So either they better get in an awful hurry to get this done, or no summer vacation for you. They should have to stay there and do their jobs. Masks on and everything. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top news of the day, I've asked our good friend Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. Scott is the co-founder of the Democratic Coalition, also host of the fabulous Dworkin Report. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Good. So what do you think? Louis Go-Go Gohmert, positive.
I wish him a speedy and quick recovery, full recovery. And I find it unfortunate that, cults try and influence their members to do things that are against their health and against their safety and against the health and safety of others. And it's very, it's a wake up call, I hope, to some people in America to realize that no matter who you are, no matter what political party you are, you can get it. And, you know, as people like the founder of Turning Point, who has passed, as reality starts to sink in, that we can't just wish this away, that we're going to have to shut down again. We have no other option because we can't just keep doing this. And we're going to have to shut down because of Trump. And
well, absolutely. But here's the thing. I mean, I look at Gohmert, and Gohmert's got probably one of the most ridiculous stories now. Evidently, he claims that he got it from wearing someone else's mask, or he got it from wearing a mask. And my question is, was he wearing someone else's mask?
No, he was wearing his own, but he's saying that, oh, well, I had to touch my face because of the mask. And, you know, one of the things, you know, you protect yourself from other people breathing, and then also you protect your breathing from other people. But a really big reason for wearing the mask is touching your face. It prevents you from touching your face and spreading that. I mean, obviously, you can get in your eyes and things like that, but it's really... it's amazing that they don't believe in science to the point where they're willing to get sick to try and prove a point. But he's wearing, he said that because he was wearing a mask is why he got sick, which is just another conspiracy theory that is against science. At some point we have to think, who and why, why are they trying to hurt Americans? Why do they want Americans to get sick? Like, why do they want Americans to die? Because it's what it is now. What we thought at first was, oh, well, some people are stupid, some people are ignorant, some people don't know what's going on, but it's evil. It's intentional. At this point, it's very clear that there was a plan in place, and they decided not to follow it because of his poll numbers.
Right.
And he didn't want to look bad. And now we're headed towards like 300,000 dead Americans by the end of the year. We're headed towards tens of millions of people to have lifelong complications health-wise. We are looking at a complete crash of the economy, worse than 2008. This is not a fun time like we reset and reopen. No one's open. No one's open for business. We've been waiting, 6 months?
Yeah. And here's the thing. I mean, the thing that gets me, Scott, is Susan Rice was on The View today, and I have a bunch of people tell me, well, it doesn't matter who the president was, you know, this was going to happen anyway. And I wholeheartedly disagree with that. This was the decision of Donald Trump. And as Rice pointed out, she said that they prepared this administration with a pandemic for dummies playbook. She said, and a tabletop exercise and so many other briefings. She said, so the fault here, the tragic loss of 150,000 Americans and counting, is on Donald Trump and his gross mishandling of this pandemic. And I don't know how much simpler you can put it. This was a choice that he made. We had all the tools. We were the country that was best suited to deal with this, and we're the ones who have been hit hardest by it.
Right, and they believe that some sort of personal freedom to spread disease You know, what I like to do sometimes with people who don't understand the seriousness of it is I like to ask them, like, for example, Rick, what do you think is, outside of COVID, what do you think is like the most deadly disease you can think of off the top of your head that you'd be like, I don't want to be in the room with the
HIV.
So like you have, well, that obviously doesn't spread from there, but yeah, I understand it's the scariest one to you.
It's the scariest disease.
So I want you to treat COVID as if it's that. And then all of a sudden people's minds start to change and they're like, or they don't. And if they don't, then, you know, it's hard to really present an argument to them. I think the biggest disappointment is the fact that people don't think that the President of the United States' words matter anymore. There's a lot of people who repeat, millions of Americans repeat what he says. They have confrontations, they get angry. They have the sociopathic tendencies that he has as well, because it spreads through the camera. They mimic him. They repeat his words. And that spreads the virus. Having mass events spread the virus. Having people not wear masks and him not being a leader and showing wear masks. Like all you had to say was, and didn't do that because it looked bad politically. It looked like he was going to be weak. He didn't want to tell people what to do. It polled bad. And instead of him doing his job, which was so simple, he could have easily united this country and gotten credit for it for real. Instead, he chose the worst possible path.
Yep.
And it's like he was being advised by like Putin.
Oh, you think? No, because here's the thing, and this is what I keep saying. You know, the Democrats have handed him every tool to handle this in the right way. They've basically said, here's unlimited money to go out and spread around, to keep people at home, to do the right thing. They at no point have tried to obstruct anything that they wanted. They gave corporate America a giant slush fund. They gave everything just with the hope of saying, hey, let's stay home. Let's lock down. Let's take care of this. You take the win, Mr. President. You take it. And he still wouldn't take it.
Yeah, and I don't understand, like, you know, with Governor, soon to be former Governor DeSantis in Florida, I don't understand, like, why they keep on trying to say everything's fine when your state is burning down. You know what I mean? Like, people are dying and you can't get to a hospital within hours of where you live. And you know, it's just like, oh, well, you can call an emergency room, and they're like, no, 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 just stay home. Yeah. Like, what country are we? Like, that's what they do in third world countries. Like, well, a lot of third world countries don't have the hospitals, but, like, we don't. So, like, what are we right now? It's like we have this – we're like, want to believe that we're better than we are right now when we are one of the worst countries in the world right now because of Donald Trump. That is why the world will celebrate over the second that he leaves office or loses or both. He's not just killing us, he's killing other people across the world. And I think the reason why Mattis, General Mattis, his former employee and obviously, you know, Mad Dog, one of the reasons why he compared Trump to the Nazis is his negligence is killing people. And I think one of the things that Hitler did was that. And I think that there's obviously studies now that tens of thousands of Americans would be alive if he had acted sooner and done more. I think that the number's higher. I think millions of people would not have gotten sick if he had taken immediate action and done something about it. And I think that if we had a Democratic president, definitely if it was Hillary, she would have shut down any kind of immediate area. Obama would have, if there was like one case that came into the United States, he'd act like it was a million. And because this is spreads, and the thing is, you can't. And Dr. Dina Grayson, who I've spoken with about this, she said you can't spin death. And the you know, somehow they're trying to spin it. Oh, that's a flu. Oh, blah blah blah. And now kids are dying.
Yeah, but now you saw the other day, you saw the witch doctor out in front of the Capitol, or in front of the Supreme Court building, saying that there's a cure. Don't wear a mask. And yet. You know, there are people, as soon as that came out, I had a bunch of people emailing me, sending me direct messages. Now, I must have seen that from 100 different directions because people want to believe there's a cure. There's not yet. There's just not. As much as I want there to be one, there's just not yet.
I don't want to be wasting my time fighting with Sinclair Broadcasting about, debunk conspiracy theories that some nut jobs are talking about,
right?
Where they promote Bitcoin on Twitter and that's what they focus on, and they haven't seen a patient in years, and they're not real doctors.
Yeah.
That's propaganda. That's what you
do. But those are the people that Trump, the reason that this is a story is Trump retweeted that. He put his name behind it. He put the office of the President of the United States behind that insane statement and that woman.
There is no cure whatsoever that exists in the world for COVID. Nothing. There will not be a cure for anyone this year. No one. There will be no magical vaccine that pops up. Maybe we'll get a therapeutic that actually works. Maybe. But there will be no vaccine this year. And even if we secure a vaccine by early next year, we're looking at June or July. I don't think people understand the timeline here, that they don't know exactly everything about the virus still. There are different versions now of the virus. Now, I don't know if the mutations have made it so it's less deadly, but it spreads easier. But I believe that there was a report out that said that there's six different versions of it now. And that's one of the reasons why they've had some false positives, false negative, mostly false negatives. It's just right now there's two things we can do as a country. And there's only two things that we can do to try and get back on track. Outside of voting for Joe Biden and all Democrats and never voting for a Republican ever again. And that's wearing a mask at all times when you're outside, not when you're, you got to keep in mind that if you walk in a spot and someone else has been there a few minutes ago, you're breathing their air and you can get it. And so you have to wear a mask at all times outside. Infants and things like that, I think it's a little different with babies. That they're the one exception to the rule. But if you go outside and you're a senior, I recommend that you get a respirator, that you don't even wear the cloth mask. That's not good enough for you. So if you're over the age of probably 60, I recommend it's time to get, a legit mask and wear it at all times when outside. No one should be going to restaurants, bars, movie theaters, any kind of public events. Again, this is spun out of control, and it's not going anywhere good. Talking about reopening school is a pipe dream, and I think that's just another grandiose dream that Trump has backed off of now because he realizes that it's not tenable. That's why he never wrote a plan about it, because he wanted to blame Democrats for not opening schools. But think about it like this: we reopen schools, every single school in America, statistically, every school in America for the most part, almost every, sorry, will have a child or an adult that has it. And the protocol behind that is you'd have to shut down that school for an undetermined amount. I mean, I don't know if it'd be a few days or a few weeks, or you have to test everybody. So the second thing that we can do outside of wearing masks at a constant, which can end the pandemic, it can end the pandemic, but we have to wear it at all times outside. You can't go to a restaurant, go like this, take pictures with your, no, none of that. Doesn't work like that. So the second thing is pushing for testing everywhere. If we want to go to school, if we want our kids to go to school, guess what? If we had tests at the door that were as quick as Trump's tests, then we'd be able to know, at least have peace of mind and do our best effort to try and make it so that nobody in that building has it. At least we'd know.
Yeah, no, but we've been saying this from the beginning, Scott. This isn't new. This isn't new. It's not news. It's what should have been done from the beginning. And any competent leader, any leader worth their salt would have done that. Would have been pushing for this right from the start.
I mean, I shouldn't have to sit there and me, Grant Stern, and a bunch of nurses and doctors who are mostly responsible for it. We had started Masks Now, Kelly, there's a bunch of people involved, and you've had them on your show. I should be directing my efforts towards the election and voter turnout. I shouldn't be directing my efforts to getting masks to doctors and nurses and hospitals because our government won't do their job.
Right.
You know, there's no way that you can control this without a national effort. And it is so simple. It is so simple that it's unbelievable. It's like, that's why we're trying to wrap our brain up. Like, the only thing that makes logical sense at this point is that he is intentionally using the coronavirus as a weapon against Americans. Yeah. And that's what he's been doing since day one. You know,
no, you're right. So last question I've got for you on this then, sure. Because, you know, you said we may have to shut back down. I just don't see that happening. I just don't see us shutting back down. I don't see that happening until January of 2021 at the earliest, when it may be completely out of control by then.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a myth going around about Democrats. I want kids to go back to school.
I do too.
I want to go out. I want to go to the bar and drink with my buddies. Like, I want to do all this stuff. So, like, that kind of, but I don't want people to die. I don't want you to get sick. I don't want kids to get sick. I don't want other families to get sick. And the heartless, immoral, disgusting people that go against masks are as inhumane as the Nazis were. And they will go down, etched in stone in history. Everyone that's been involved with this, they'll be treated like that for the rest of their lives. And I think when it comes to reopening or closing, you're right. I don't think that there will be a national mandate to just shut down again, because that'll sink him to a level he'll think it'll sink him to a level that he can't recover from.
I think he's already at the level where he's not going to be able to recover, but I still think people need to get out and vote. I do want to get some thoughts on some other things that have happened today. Reported today that evidently Trump has talked with Vladimir Putin 7 times over the last several months, since the story about the bounties on American soldiers, and evidently hasn't asked about it. Are you surprised that he hasn't asked about it? Is it political malpractice to have not asked? Is it something that maybe he should have had an underling do? I'm curious your thoughts.
There's no way that there hasn't been some communication between Russia and the United States or Trump's government. They've talked. There's no way that he hasn't confirmed it on his own. Like, that's impossible. There's no way he didn't know. He knew about it immediately. He knows everything about Russia. He's notified about Russia every single time. So not bringing it up in phone calls, I believe that. I believe that he didn't bring it up with Putin on phone calls. But, you know, he sat down with Axios in this interview, and he said that it was fake news, the Russian bounties. So then, you know, the adjusted question was like, well, the Russians are arming the Taliban, and your own military leader over there said that, like, confirmed it. So why is that okay? And then he went to the what about, well, we used to do that too. And he's like, well, that was a different time. He's like, I don't know if you know, but the USSR was Russia before. And it's just like, it really is a warped brain, where I think that Putin is the kind of person that knows how to manipulate people. And I think Trump may not know that he's being manipulated, and this input kills Americans. And so Putin's smiling, and Trump is doing these things with his most trusted advisors, the Crown Prince who murdered Jamal Khashoggi, and Putin who murders his own people and press. You know, this is not something that's normal. And the Putin talks are just, they're going to come out. There's no way that Putin doesn't have tapes of all this. There's no way he's not going to use that towards his advantage. There's no way that, like, all the meetings that they've had one-on-one, they aren't recorded. I'm sure that Trump even fell for the fact that he probably thinks that Putin doesn't speak English. And that's one of the games, like, he has one of his spies or something acting like a translator in the back. He understands everything they say. You know, I'm not sure. I think that they've talked one-on-one before. They had that meeting in
Helsinki.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they actually did it in Helsinki just alone.
But they had translators, but yeah, they didn't release any notes or take any notes.
Right, yeah, that doesn't exist in politics. I don't know what kind of lie. Like, the lies are just so obscene, because it's just like, it doesn't make any sense. And now they're starting to, you know, spar with each other, which is just really interesting. I think that we're, you know, even Barr, in his testimony, like, he finally, he sat there and he was considering whether or not it was okay for another country to assist a candidate in their election. And then he finally said, no, that's not okay. And it's like, he was weighing his option of like, is this the hill? Is this the hill that I want to be on right now? Because again, it's not, there's no country out there that is aiding a candidate that wants to like help America. You see what I'm saying? Like they're not in it for our best interest. They're in it for our worst interest and for their best interest.
Yeah, and we now find out, you know, there are more reports coming out that you've got, you know, Russian operations in seeding and sowing disinformation around the virus here as well. So we're being attacked from every direction. And even Bill Barr during his testimony said, look, you know, the Russians interfered in 2016 and they're probably doing it now. And we've done nothing to stop it.
And I won't. Well, the United States government hasn't. That's why the resistance exists. Because when they didn't step up under Trump's administration, we did. And so when he tweets about finally after, you know, 4.5 years of facing it, he's, the hashtags and these trends, I don't understand. It's because he's losing on Twitter and he cannot win on Twitter. Like, and that is a gigantic disappointment, and that was a big part of their plan on top of not having a pandemic. God knows the smears that would have been going on right now with everybody. Right. You know, I'm sure that the worst is yet to come. I'm just not sure if it comes from Trump. I think it may be just reality setting in and people stopping to listen. Like, they're not listening maybe as much to Trump and they listen more to Biden. I listened to Biden yesterday. And he was talking maybe for 30 minutes, and to see like a human being with like feelings and emotions, and like, it just was, it was mind boggling to me. I was like, I don't know if I can handle like a person that, you know, cares about people.
Right. Let me ask you this though, because, you know, we talk a lot about Russia, and Russia is doing a lot of stuff. And it seems like, you know, Trump is basically just, you know, Putin's puppet, as the phrase goes. But, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on China as well. China's doing a lot of the stuff that isn't getting the same stuff, just not getting the same amount of attention. What do you say to the person who goes, well, you know, the Chinese want Joe Biden, Putin wants Trump. So we've basically got this Cold War scenario of China and wanting Biden and Russia wanting Trump.
Trump's done business in China for decades. I don't know if Biden's ever done business outside of the United States government in China, or as a representative for the United States government, trade deals and pacts and things like that. Trump has done actual business with some of the more corrupt people in China. So, you know, there is no adversary that wants Biden to become president. And anybody who tells you that is a liar. Russia and China are all in for Trump. Our allies in Europe, I'm guessing, would be vying for Biden, especially Ukraine. I think in Canada, like any of the rational countries throughout the world, with rational sort of leadership.
Right. Because here's the thing. And if you're focused on China, and I've talked about this before, if you're focused on China being our biggest adversary, and I think they are. You need our allies. You cannot have the Trump go it alone idea of, hey, just buy some agricultural stuff and I'll pretend like I'm looking tough on this issue. You've actually got to have a global strategy because of our isolation, because of Trump pulling out of international agreements, because of his unwillingness to work with our allies, there's a giant void in the international community that China's filling. And as they fill that void, like it or not, they're gaining the allegiance of all those countries that we stopped funding during the Tea Party era of we can't give any foreign aid out. So, and they've filled that void, which has left us much more vulnerable and much less safe.
Absolutely. And you know, I think outside of the virus, the Trump is our greatest national security threat. I think we've known that since day one, but it's sad saying it out loud even now. I've always tried to give him, and I don't know why, the chance to change. And I know that, and I never,
it's never going to happen.
No, absolutely not. So when it comes to international stuff, like, we have to, this is why this is so important. Everybody has to vote. If everybody votes, we win. Period.
There you go. And to me, it's that simple. Last thing I wanted to ask you about. The big news today, obviously, Trump wanted to pull nearly 12,000 troops out of Germany. Everybody's flipping out. Romney, Sass, the Republicans are losing their mind, saying it's short-sighted. It's a lack of strategic understanding. And to be honest, this is exactly what Putin would want. So for all those people who go, well, you know, it's just that Russia, oh, you're just fixated on Russia. This is an actual act that Trump wants to move that would directly benefit Russia. I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it may be a trap for, you know, maybe like a false presented front where Trump is willing to lose on some things, where he says he's going to do this, right? And it doesn't happen in the same order. It doesn't really happen, or he can't really do it the same way. But Republicans like Susan Collins, Joni Ernst, people in competitive Senate races right now can come out against Russia, since the party is so aligned with Russia. The Republican Party at this point is more aligned with Russia than the United States.
Well, they are the Red Party. as somebody sent me an email, you got to join the Red Team, Rick. And I said, no, that's probably not. It's not going to happen. Not until they find some bit of sanity. But Scott, I appreciate the thoughts and the time. As always, great stuff, man.
Great to hear from you. Stay safe. And everybody else, visit masksnow.org.
There you go. Masksnow.org. Our good friend Scott Dworkin. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, Rick at thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.